Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with your hosts, Jim and Chuck. And Chuck, again, it's spooky season, and we get to talk about all things spooky. And when I say spooky, you know, my mind, honestly, when I hear the word spooky, goes right to the Muppets and Lego. Because yeah. Nothing says scary like toys that hurt your feet and puppets. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some Disney Plus family style Halloween shows. Muppets Haunted Mansion, which we'll talk about and spoil. And we'll also talk about Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales, which surprising to say the least for me. But before we get into that, we've got a trailer, and this one's going to be spooky. And we talked about this, I feel like, 3 or 4 months ago about the castings and how, like, this is going to be like a CW movie because they just casted a bunch of attractive people. And that's Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. And the trailer came out. And honestly, when it was, like, coming November 24th, I was like, really? I didn't think it was done. I didn't think that movie was going to come out as quick as it did because we did talk about this. What did you think about this trailer? I know we did get to see Neil McDonough, and I'm super stoked about that. but what did you think of this trailer? Because I have some thoughts.
It looked okay. I mean, I was a big fan of the first couple Resident Evil movies. And then after a while, it just got really bad. Like, the first two were great. So I was excited and kind of skeptical at the same time when they said, oh, we're going to make a Resident Evil movie. I'm like, eh. Like, okay. It looked cool. You know, the cast, like you said, you know, isn't super... It's not a big name cast. You know, Robbie Amell, Neil McDonough, and the girl from Maze Runner, Casey...
Kyla Scolidario.
Yes.
And Hannah John Common from Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Tom Hooper from The Umbrella Academy. So they got them some recognizable faces, and it looks like a CW movie.
Yeah, I agree with it. I think that's a perfect CW movie type cast. Like, I agree with you. I never really played the video game, so I'm not like a purist and like, oh, you know, this has to be right. I thought the CGI looked okay. You know, it wasn't the best CGI, but it wasn't sci-fi type CGI. So it looked cool. Will I see it? Yes. Will I go to the theaters to see it? Probably not. You know, I'll see it eventually, but I'll give it a shot. But it didn't look bad.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. You know, I've played the video games. I remember being horrified by the video games when I was little and just being absolutely... And by little, I mean like 15. So I wasn't 6'5 when I was 15, so I was littler. And I was a little frightened by the video games. And then, you know, the Mila movies come out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, these are not that good. The first one was great because, and I said, maybe not great's the right word, but I enjoyed the first one with Mila Jovovich and Michelle Rodriguez.
The first two were enjoyable.
Yeah. Like, I always go back to that scene where the laser comes through and it, like, turns that one of the guys into cubes. I was like, this is fantastic. Yeah. With this movie, again, you know, I think they got themselves like a super hot, attractive cast. So I think that's going to be good for like younger viewers, right? They put together a pretty good ensemble cast from recognizable properties. So again, brings people in. And it's also low risk, high reward because you didn't take quote unquote A-listers and pigeonhole them into this role. This one looks a little more believable. Where these guys and gals are just playing their part. So I thought that was good. CGI was one thing that I looked at because this is more of a CGI type movie because of the decay and the different monsters that were in there. I thought the dogs looked cool, the Doberman zombies. I thought they looked very cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they included them because, again, that like going to the mythos, that's one of the important things. The Licker at the end looked very cool.
Is that what his name is? The Licker?
It's a licker, yeah. It uses its tongue. And like I think it was in the second one, or maybe the first one. It's like climbing on the top of like a cathedral. The first one in the train scene. Yeah. Then where it kind of lost me was when I saw the quote unquote big boss with all the eyes, and like it looked like a cloud, like a muscular cloud, and I was like, ah, you had me up until that moment. And Neil McDonough obviously is going to play like one of the greatest characters of all time in this movie, and crush it. But I'm right there with you, man. I'm going to watch it. I probably won't see it in theaters, but I think I'm going to enjoy it because it's been a while since I've seen a very good Resident Evil movie, let alone a good Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
So the bar is really low. So there's only you can only go one way up, and that's up. And it's certainly not going to be Monster Hunter. I think this already looked better than Monster Hunter. And I sat through that, so we'll see. But I got some news for us. And it's ironic that every time we talk about, as of late, we've been talking about DC, and there's a lot of DC news that comes out. And Disney Plus, which is what we're going to be talking about today, both projects that we've watched are available exclusively on Disney Plus, is developing a bunch of series, one of which... is Agatha Harkness series with Catherine mm-hmm. Hahn returning as Agatha, which I think is something that you and I both want to see, just to dive into like her history, because it goes way, way back. So I think that was cool. And it's been rumored that they're going to be making a Monica Rambeau series, a Ten Ring series, and Disney Marvel is going to be making 97 other projects. They have 100 projects in the works. So what do you make of this... you know, kind of all-you-can-eat buffet of Marvel projects that are about to hit our tables?
That's a little excessive, in my opinion. And I love Marvel, and I love that we get a lot of content. But a couple years ago, when, you know, Disney said they were doing Star Wars, all this stuff, and you were like, Star Wars fatigue. I hope that doesn't get to a Marvel fatigue, but 100 projects is a lot. Like, I just... yeah. I can't wrap my head around all the projects that they would be doing. Like, I know they're doing a lot, and I'm very excited. You know, Secret Wars and She-Hulk and Moon Knight and all that. Like, great. But I can't imagine adding the 3 that we talked about and then 97 more.
No, I hear you. I feel like some of those 97 are like movie sequels.
And that's, I mean? And I'm fine with that. But that's still like, a lot. Okay, so movie sequels. Say 10 of them. You still have 87 more projects.
But if you get... all right, so let's go 10, and then you get a sequel after that, maybe 20. Then the ones that they've already announced are probably included in that. So there is a lot. I just don't want it to be like, Hawkeye did great, Kate Bishop did great, here's a Pizza Dog series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're already getting an Echo series out of it. But this could also be a good chance to get, you know, I don't know, like a Punisher or a Daredevil series again. This could be a great opportunity for getting these characters back.
I mean, as long as out of those 97, a Fing Fang Foom feature or series, I'm fine.
You know, I don't even think that's crossed their mind.
They should.
I could see, like... a Korg and a Meek series.
Oh, that would be like amazing.
A Grandmaster series, like a limited series, like a 6-episode run, where like how he became like powerful in Sakaar, and that leads in like Ares and Man Thing and Beta Ray Bill, and then it just ends with the Hulk getting dropped onto Sakaar. I think that would be really,
really
cool.
Really cool.
But there's options. Of the 3 that we've just named, Agatha, Monica, and the Ten Rings, they all make absolute sense.
100%, because it was, you know, Monica and Agatha spin completely out of WandaVision, and it goes in different directions, which I like. You know what I mean? Like, you have this villain, and then you have Monica, who's going to be in the Marvels, and so that's great. But then, you know, the Ten Rings, like we talked about in our Shang-Chi episode, it has such a big potential of expanding that universe and expanding that storyline. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that this is their way of keeping Wenwu in the MCU. You know what I mean? Because, like, great character, a lot of building there. I think we get like the Ten Rings, I think, is a prequel. I think it's going to be his time to rise, and then it will then kind of take off later. I'm just like, as I think about it, I'm thinking of all the characters who are going to spin out of certain shows, like, or be featured in certain shows. Like, I can't wait for the, you know, the Foggy miniseries.
I mean, they can grab anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be, I mean, I did see the rumor too. I don't know if you saw in the Echo series, they're bringing back the Daredevil cast.
Yeah. Well, I heard, you know, it was a possibility that Matt Murdock shows up, not the whole cast, but if the whole cast shows up, I'm here for it.
I saw the rumor of Foggy, Karen Page, and Matt Murdock being in there.
Okay. I mean, that's real. Oh, as long as they don't, you know, Carrie Ann Moss, if they leave her out, I'm okay. Right? Wasn't she in that?
Yeah, what was her name?
Who gives a shit? Let's get her out of this. I remember.
You hated it.
Yeah, she was rough. But 9,700 projects. If spaced out well, and I believe Marvel does a good job at this, I think that this is going to be amazing next 20 years for us.
Yeah.
But if they drop like a series a month, I don't know how many after shows I can do. You know what I'm saying? I think there's so much more after shows that we could do. But maybe some of those are going to be animated, like Hitmonkey and What If and stuff like that. But we'll see. No time, you know, we can sit here and speculate all the characters and we, you know, give me your list of 100 characters that are going to come out, but we don't have the time. And our listeners don't want to hear it either.
No.
So let's go to my picks of the week. It's a light week, Chuck, and I have one.
Oh, wow. I don't think you've ever had one.
I know. Well, back when I did just the pick of the week, it was one. But this one's from DC, so strap in because it's long and I'm probably going to struggle reading it. But Bruce Wayne's mission it's called Batman the Imposter.
So yeah, I saw a preview for that.
Looks great, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what the story is supposed to be about. Bruce Wayne's mission as the Batman has only been underway for a year or so, but he can tell he's making a difference. Unfortunately, he's made some powerful enemies. All the traditional power brokers of Gotham resent the disruption the Batman has brought to town, and it seems one of them has a plan to neutralize him. There's a second Batman haunting Gotham's rooftops and alleys, and this one has no qualms about murdering criminals live and on tape. With the entire might of the Gotham City Police Department and Gotham's rich and powerful coming down on his head, Batman must find this imposter and somehow clear his name. But how can you prove your innocence from behind a mask? Director and screenwriter Mattson Tomlin from Project Power and Little Fish has teamed up with Eisner-winning suspense and horror artists Andrea Sorrentino, Joker, Killer Smile, and Gideon Falls to create a wholly new version of Gotham City informed by a grim reality where every punch leaves a broken bone and every action has consequences far, far beyond Batman's imagination. So, let's rewind and just go to the tagline. There's a murder in Batman in Gotham, and he videotapes it. What do you think about this comic book?
It seemed pretty cool. The preview that I saw, just the images looked pretty neat. And what was that? Batman vs. Big Me the other day. So I saw that. I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. So it seems interesting. It's something that I might be picking up.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of stuff not coming out, this is definitely going to be on my list. I'm always kind of leery with picking up new Batman titles because there seems to be at least one every week.
Yeah.
You know, DC's back at just pumping out a bunch of Batman content, and some of it's really good, right? So I read that Arkham City one. It was very good. The art, not so much for me, but story-wise, it was very, very cool. Batman vs. Bigsby, I thought was a good one. Like you said, through text, quick read, and it was, in fact, a quick read, but
I didn't realize you picked it up.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I didn't like the synopsis that they gave me, but I picked it up. We've got Batman Comics, Detective Comics, I Am Batman, Batman the Second Son, Batman's in Justice League. He's in Justice League Last Ride. He's going to be in the the DC versus Justice League versus Zombies series. Batman is everywhere. He's, again, their cash cow. And I feel like they're putting out so many more Batman contents or series that I can't wrap my head around what storyline I'm going to follow. So I'm very, very selective on Batman comics because there are too much. But this one has me very interested because I like Flashpoint Batman when he just kills unapologetically. And this kind of seems like it. And I think that there's going to be a twist there because I want to see who this Batman is that kills. So I'm going to get it. And Project Power was actually an underrated little movie. So I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. So let's go into our spoilery territory. Because if you have Disney Plus and you have kids, you probably already saw these. And if you don't, here you go. We're going to talk about them. Muppets Haunted Mansion. We have both professed our love to Jim Henson and the Muppets.
Yep.
On several episodes. I like to make up a story that my parents named me Jim because they love Jim Henson. It's completely not true. I actually don't even know where my first name comes from. But Jim Henson no longer lives, but the Muppets live on. And Disney and the Muppets found a way to bring in Spooky, because they've never done a Halloween special, which is awesome, and an attraction at Disney into one. So they do the Haunted Mansion, where Gonzo and our prawn friend have to survive one night in the Haunted Mansion. And there's some guests. Will Arnett.
A lot of guests.
Taraji P. Henson, Darren Criss, John Stamos, everyone's favorite, but not mine, Yvette Nicole Brown. She was there. She's a super fan for every single show. We get it. And a lot of other people. Pat Sajak,
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, I mean, favorite part of the whole thing was when Danny Trejo popped up. Pat Sajak, I wasn't expecting. I thought that was actually a pretty cool thing where I was like, is that Pat Sajak? And he popped up. But you're a Muppet man. I'm a Muppet man. What did you think of Muppet's Haunted Mansion?
I liked it. I mean, was it great? No. But it was enjoyable. It was, 52 minutes long? You know, the story, predictable. But the guests, of course, Ed Asner, great late Ed Asner was in it. The special guests were cool. I really enjoyed all that. The John Stamos one was really weird.
Yeah, he was just, famous person.
Yeah, that's what he's credited as. He was just sitting there, and then he turns into a scary Muppet. And, Will Arnett is great. You know, you can't really go wrong with Will Arnett. And, right off the bat, as soon as they showed that one thing, I knew he was the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Great MacGuffin. I did see a lot of people, upset that they used Pepe instead of Rizzo.
Yeah, but I was wondering why Rizzo wasn't the cohort, the Robin, if you will, to Gonzo's Batman.
But I don't know, they've been using a lot of Pepe lately, and especially in the Muppets Now stuff. But it was enjoyable. There were some laughs. And I think being a Disney guy and my daughter, one of her favorite things is the Haunted Mansion. They did a pretty good job with incorporating the Haunted Mansion stuff, the Hat Box Ghost was Fozzie. Taraji P. Henson was the bride. That's very huge character in the ride. They did a pretty good job incorporating. It just wasn't oh, this is the Haunted Mansion. A Haunted Mansion. They did a pretty good job of peppering and stuff from the ride itself into the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it had a very Muppet Show vibe where it was a variety hour, but just set in one specific area. Did I hate it? No. Did I love it? No. But I liked what we got. It wasn't I set my bar real high with this, and I'm this has to be, the Muppets Christmas Carol. Because I think that's some of the Muppets at their best, right? Mm-hmm. This kind of just felt like a cash grab because the Muppets are a dying stock for Disney.
They are.
But the Haunted Mansion is such a cash cow in terms of, like, collectors, and, like, they've been pushing a lot of Haunted Mansion merchandise with the 50th anniversary of Disney. And, you know, the Haunted Mansion is, like, the creme de la creme when it comes to Disney World rides, is what a lot of people say. So it kind of felt like that this was just, like, well, we've got peanut butter and we've got jelly. Let's just put it together because it should fit. So I wasn't mad at it. I would have actually liked it to be a random haunted house where you didn't feel like you knew what was going to happen. You didn't know that there was going to be the ghost like that. You didn't know, like, didn't feel like you were on the ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, that's why I liked it.
Because you're the theme park guy. Mm-hmm. This is a very theme park movie. This is Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And how many more rides are they going to make movies of?
Well, they're making a Haunted Mansion movie again.
Yeah, of course they are. Not with Eddie Murphy, right?
No. Owen Wilson, Lakeith Stanfield.
Right. Rosario Dawson is going to be in it. Tiffany Haddish is going to be in it as well.
Tiffany Haddish is the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah. And Justin Simien is directing it, who did... Dear White People. He wrote Dear White People, Bad Hair. I don't know. I of the two that we're going to talk about, this was kind of like my least favorite. I love Will Arnett. I think he made it what it was. And I also, like, I just like seeing the Muppets, to be honest with you. I could have watched this on mute and just been like, oh, you know, there's Beaker and Honeydew. Like, that. There's my guys. Like, it brought back old fuzzy memories of watching the Muppet Show.
Their part was great when they were like, I didn't think we were going to have this small of a cameo, but budget. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Did it do its part? Yeah. I think it did its part. Will I watch this every Halloween? Does this become a staple? No, not at all. I'm actually surprised. And when I think of Halloween and I think of Disney kind of just like looking for like a quick buck, I'm so surprised they don't do anything else with A Nightmare Before Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they've back in the early 2000s, they've talked about doing a sequel, but it was going to be 2D animation.
But we're in 2021, almost 2022, and Nightmare Before Christmas may be Disney's most profitable IP that they didn't have to go out there and buy.
No, it's a cult following, really. Like,
no, I think it's not beyond cult following at this point. It's mainstream. Nightmare Before Christmas is sold at Walgreens. You know what I mean? They sell stuff at Walgreens for Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, it is now, but like when it first came out, it was, you know, it did okay. But then it got a cult following, and now, like you said, it's mainstream. And, like, you know, the only thing they really do for it, Disneyland right now has turned their Haunted Mansion into the Nightmare Before Christmas Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. I would think, like, for them to make a quick buck and, like, an easy buck, they do, like, a small Halloween special of the Nightmare Before Christmas, and then it's a game over. You can sell more merch, but I feel like they also may just be making a killing, and they maybe they're afraid that they can't capture lightning in a bottle again like they did, and because no one was expecting that movie to be as big as it was.
No, nobody.
And maybe they're afraid that, like, the core fans, because now the core fans are in their 30s and 40s, and if they mess it up, it's game over. So, not like Disney's going to shut down or anything, but
like, do you touch something that's, you know, I mean, a lot of times too, like, Nightmare Before Christmas is sacred to a lot of people. And, for sure. You know, do they want to touch it and mess it up? Which normally Hollywood doesn't think that way. They're like, oh, we're going to, you know, Gone with the Wind 2, we'll do that. You know what I mean? Like,
God, if that happens. But, like, but what we do know with Disney is, when they have an IP that's been sitting kind of stagnant for a very long time, and they either decide to do a sequel or remake it or turn it into a live action, they really destroy it. So they're smart for not messing with it, because, again, I feel like there's enough things to bitch about on the internet, and I do not need to hear more bitching about Jack Skellington. All I hear is about how, like, I see comments where they're like, Jack Skellington is daddy, and I'm like, oh, get over yourself. It's a pumpkin-headed skeleton. Get out of here, you freak. But let's go to Star Wars. Lego Star Wars. Terrifying Tales. Now, when we were on the phone before we hit record, I said, let's start with the Haunted Mansion, because I like that one least. And you're like, dude, I disagree. Almost fell out of my chair, because you are a Star Wars guy. And I'm surprised that this one kind of wasn't as popular or wasn't as likable as the Muppets one. So I'm going to let you start with this one, because I'm very curious on where you stand with this. But before you start, let's kind of paint the picture of what we watched. We watched Poe go to Mustafar, and his X-Wing crashed, and he wanted this little boy to fix it. And then this Sith wizard housekeeper, it's, you know, evil Hagrid from Mustafar, comes in and says, I'm going to tell you some scary stories. And, you know, Jabba the Hutt's little cousin's there, and they tell these three stories. I think three. Yeah, the one with Kylo Ren, the one with Darth Maul and Grievous, and then the Wookiee's Paw.
Yeah.
I love this. Not like love, like I'm going to watch this. I'm not going to write a fan fiction of this or like watch it another three times, but I love this. But I want to hear where you're at with this, because I was like, Chuck is going to gush in this episode. I'm not going to have any screen time or mic time in this case. And I was very, very worried. But tell me, what did you think of this one?
I liked it. It wasn't that like, oh my God, I hated this because I love the Muppets. If I'm going for, you know, promoted as Halloween special, I do put Muppets ahead of this for a few reasons. You know, this was good. It was almost like a what-if storyline that I looked at it as. Those three, okay. Like, the Kylo Ren was more of a kind of like an origin almost that we didn't see with the Knights of Ren.
Almost more of what we've been talking about every preview of Star Wars movies since they brought Kylo Ren into the universe, and the after Star Wars, when we're like, I want a Knights of Ren series, and I made you read those comic books. Like,
and the comic books are great.
And that's what we got. Like,
yeah,
I think like I could have just stopped watching it there, and I know there's so much more we need to talk about, but like the fact that we got the origin to the Knights of Ren and how Ben became Kylo in Lego form nonetheless was enough to seal the deal for me, because I was like, damn, now that needs to be explored even further.
Because, see, like, I like that one, but I like the Grievous Maul better.
Well, I knew you would like that one because, like, those are two of, like, your favorite characters. But, like, in the scheme of things, like, we've been clamoring for the Kylo Ren origin story because it expands mm-hmm. what Rian Johnson did in Last Jedi with his relationship with Snoke. And then they kind of, you know, we all know that the story. JJ came in and was like, not my house. And we kind of lost all that. And I felt like that comic book that you and I read was the bridge to it. And yeah. When they were like, let's talk. When I saw the helmet get kicked in, I was like, oh my God, no, they're not going to do this. And they did it. And they gave you the origin and like how Kylo was like, don't call me Ben, Uncle Luke. Call me Kylo. And they rode off. I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, take my money. Like, you got me on this one. But well, I knew you were going to like the Darth Maul and Grievous better. And we got, like, a little origin story for Grievous, too, which was actually pretty cool. Like, they introduced who he was before he became Grievous. I thought that was pretty neat, too.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I thought the battle was really neat.
Did you love the part where he was, like, tickling under the... Oh, no, that was... when Luke became Darth Vader's apprentice, where he's like tickling yeah. under the, like the stormtrooper's arms. And he's like, not strong enough. I thought that was pretty cute.
But, you know, obviously, you know, it's campy. It's Lego. It's going to yeah. be jokey. It's not supposed to be serious. So, you know, you got to come in with more of a lighthearted and light-minded view. Like you're not going to get these, you know, dark stories and stuff like that. Like, it's going to be campy. And it's what we got. And, like, I liked them. I thought it was good. The one thing I wish, like, we get in the live-action stuff, and we see in the Legos and, like, the comic books and even in the Clone Wars, like, I want to see more huts. Like, we saw with a Grabella the Hutt. Like, you know, the Hutts are such a strong and powerful organization. Like, I really would love to see that more live-action. And I really hope we see a Hutt in Book of Boba Fett.
I feel like we will. Like, I honestly think that we're going to, just because Bib was still alive, and we know, like, the Hutt, like you said, the Hutts are really in everything, right? Mm-hmm. We're reading The High Republic. I mean, I am. I don't know if you're still reading it, but...
No, I'm caught up.
Okay, the Hutts are in that, and they played, in the last few issues, they played a huge part in it. And it's very cool that they're, like, the characters that they used in this one, right? Because... how often do we see Poe doing anything post, you know, Rise of the Skywalker? Like, they didn't use Finn. They didn't use Rey. They stuck with Poe. Then they went and they brought back Luke, and they brought back Leia and Obi-Wan, an older Obi-Wan. But then they were like, let's show you the characters that, like, everybody really likes, and either we did a disservice with, or we haven't seen them in a while. And that's when they brought in Darth Maul and Grievous. I thought that was really cool. And to get Sam Witwer, who just seems like if anybody's going to play Darth Maul, it needs to be him at this point.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, Darth Maul, even though Ray Park, like, again, was great, but didn't talk, didn't really do anything, you know, he had the great look, but you can kind of just put makeup on, and Sam Witwer, I think, can do it. And he's got the voice, and he's got the acting chops. So, like, I would love for them to explore Darth Maul more. You know, especially what we saw at the end of Solo, where he is part of Crimson Dawn. Like, you can do so much with that.
I think we see Darth Maul again. I definitely think we're going to see him again. I don't know where. They keep talking about doing... like a Kira series or like a post-Solo series. There is that Lando series that was announced way back at the Disney shareholders event. So I think we see him. I disagree with your point about putting makeup on Sam Witwer and he could do the part, just because of how good Ray Park is in terms of like stunt work. You know what I mean? Yeah. You could compromise. I think Ray Park is back on, like, the people like Ray Park. I don't think he was canceled.
He was canceled for a little bit.
Well, I think that was all that came out as false. So take it with a grain of salt. I'm not caught up on my Ray Park news. But if he's in good graces with people and he's uncanceled, you could probably just sub him out. And, like, if you want to do your route and Sam Witwer gets, you know, the most of the screen time, and if they do a live action, and then Ray Park comes in as a stunt double, great. Because, you know, I don't think Sam Witwer has the lightsaber capabilities that Ray Park does, because he is absolutely amazing with a lightsaber. No,
did you ever see the one he was at a con?
And that's all he does at cons.
And he didn't do the one when we met him. I wish he did.
I think he did. I just think you and I really didn't care after we met him. We were like, awesome, we've met you twice today, because remember he was just like walking through the crowd and I was like, what's up, Ray? And he gave me a fist bump and I was like, I don't even need to pay for a picture now, like, I'm done. But he does it at, like, if you walk up to his booth and say, and you have a lightsaber, he takes it and he does it. So now Chuck, you have a lightsaber.
I do.
When we meet Ray Park again, you're gonna have to show him, like, ask him for lessons. But the cool thing about Sam Witwer, as we kind of move onwards, his last name means widower in Germany, or in German. So I think that's pretty cool. It's a badass nickname or last name. So that was cool. The third one with the monkey paw, very Twilight Zone. Yeah, the Wookiee's paw. Sorry. It was very Twilight Zone.
Yeah. It was very, like, I to me, it was kind of like, what if? Like, okay, I know
that That's the one that gave me What If vibes. The other two didn't really give me What If vibes, but that one for sure. And also had a lesson. You know what I mean? That was Disney and Lego being like, kids are watching this. There needs to be a lesson. And that was it.
Yeah, definitely.
So what did you, like, overall, like, what did you think of the Wookiees, Paul? Where, because this is, I mean, come on, this is sacred stuff for you. This is Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader. Now they're on a team. This is, again, what if Luke Skywalker became a TIE fighter pilot and blew up the Death Star as a TIE fighter pilot and not a rebel? So what did you think of that little twist?
It was cool. It was my least favorite of the stories, but it wasn't bad. Like, it was cool to be like, oh, what if this happened?
I totally agree with you. I think in terms of, like, ranking it, it got – didn't get worse, but the likability for me got decreased with each one. The Kylo Ren one was great, but then the Darth Maul – and I think the thing I really liked about Darth Maul one had nothing to do with him or Grievous, although I did enjoy the Grievous, like, them saying who Grievous was before he became General Grievous. And if that's already happened in the movies, I apologize. It's been a very long time since I've watched the prequels. So
I don't think that's ever happened.
Okay. So, again, grain of salt in this episode. That's what this episode is going to be titled. But also the fact that we got to see the Night Sisters.
Yeah.
That was huge for me. And I look into it like, yes, we got a Lego kind of throwaway Terrifying Tales thing that you can pop on for the kids throughout the years, because there were no pumpkins, there were no jack-o'-lanterns. It really wasn't a Halloween-esque – it wasn't a Halloween-themed series or special. It was more of just like, hey, here are some creepy tales that you don't know about. And I like that. But the fact that we got an expansion to the Kylo Ren origin story, a very popular character that people love, is satisfying. But then the Night Sisters and what the uncertainty for the future leads to, I kind of like went conspiracy theory mode, that like this was confirmation that the Night Sisters are going to show up in maybe like the Acolyte or in other projects. So I was very much here for it, because, you know, the Night Sisters are amazing, and I don't think we've ever explained the Night Sisters on this podcast, no. But I feel like we haven't heard about the Night Sisters. And if I'm not mistaken, the Night Sisters kind of tie in with
Darth Maul, right? With him and his brother. Well,
he definitely Darth Maul, but there's definitely ties to other characters in the Star Wars lore, because, and I feel like we've talked about it. It's not Reavan. It's because they're from Dathomir. Oh, you know who it is? Asajj Ventress.
Yeah, I love Asajj Ventress.
There's ties to Asajj Ventress and the Night Sisters of Dathomir, and I thought that was very cool, because we have Asajj in the universe. We've been kind of hoping that she pops up in Mandalorian or maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever other series that they're making. Maybe an Asajj series comes out. So just having the Night Sisters, and like, we've never really explored the dark magic of a galaxy far, far away. We've only really just looked at it from, like, Sith, Jedi. And we haven't looked into the darker stuff that's out there. So I thought that that was a very, very cool thing. So let's kind of geek grade this. Then we'll get out of here. I'll start with the Muppets Haunted Mansion. And I'm going to give that one a 6.2.
Okay.
Because it's above average special for me.
Okay.
What do you give it?
Dude, even 7.
Oh, okay. Nice. Round score. I like it. In terms of Terrifying Tales, I will give that one a 6.5.
Okay.
What about you?
Let's go 6.7.
Okay. So we're about around the same place for this. These are above average and slightly above average for 30-plus-year-old men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for kids, this is probably a 10. For both of these are 10s for kids. We're looking at it from a fan's perspective, and we also know about the consumerism in both of these. You know, they're going to definitely, like, Funko is probably already working on Haunted Mansion Muppet Pops. You know, Disney's probably...
I definitely would want them.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for them. Disney's probably got a bunch of stuff down in Disney World with the Haunted Mansion and the Muppets. In fact, a buddy of mine's going down there next week. I'm going to ask him to send me a report back, and I will report back the next time we record about this stuff. But overall, it's our second week in Spooktober as we started with Venom, Let There Be Carnage. In fact, two episodes this week. That was awesome. I released it on Sunday because, you know, I'm a busy boy. Next week, we're going to be back, but we don't know when we're going to be back because of scheduling conflicts. And next week, we're going to talk about DC. Again, Chuck, guess what? We're talking about it. Can you believe it? There's more DC stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and the long Halloween.
Well, we've got the long Halloween, but we also have DC Fandom this weekend.
Yes, yes.
So expect some DC trailer parks. Expect some DC reactions to DC Fandom. Expect the Washington football team to be called the Washington DC Comics. I think that's going to be the biggest announcement. It's going to be the Washington Batman. So you heard it here first. But overall, is there a couple things you're looking for DC Fandom? For me, I want to see Black Adam. I want to see the trailer for, like, or at least the first look at Black Adam. Is there something you're looking forward to?
That's probably the biggest thing I want.
Okay. You looking for maybe a first look at concept art for Batgirl or Blue Beetle?
That would be really cool. Maybe some behind the scenes or footage of Shazam, because I know that's filming.
Yep, I definitely want to see Sinbad's costume.
And Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren, what they look like.
Yep.
Yep. Would be really cool. I want to see, like you said, Black Adam. Like, I want to see everyone. I want to see what Cyclone looks like. I want to see Atom Smasher, Dr. Fate, Hawkman. Like, I want to see.
Did you see the leaked photo of the Gengarian armor?
I've seen the helmet. The helmet looks really
good.
Cool.
Looks really good. It looks like, honestly, between that and seeing the leaked footage or the leaked picture of Black Adam's suit, it looks like they've got the tone right.
Yeah, they really did. I'm really excited to see Dr. Fate. See what they did with that, because I'm a fan. As long as it's not Fate, that
oh,
90s
God.
Comic
it's,
we
it's,
talked
it's
about.
It's going to be.
So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe some more footage or more stills of the Batman.
I'm on the fence with that. I feel like I saw what I want to see.
I would be okay with stills. I don't want to see maybe not another trailer. Maybe a better look of the Penguin, a full body of the Penguin, maybe Catwoman. But I'm going to see it regardless, so I don't need to see a new trailer.
I already saw what the Riddler looks like, albeit Lego version of the Riddler. And I was a little upset, but nonetheless, I'm with you. I'd rather see stills than footage. One of the other big things for me, and we're going to talk about this obviously next week, but, Flashpoint, I need to see they're filming it. I want to see some footage, a little sizzle reel, maybe a trailer. I want to see it. I want to see where they're at with it and maybe a little bit of gameplay from Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. I'd like to see a little bit more of that.
That game looks great.
Yeah, I can't afford a PlayStation 5, so I'm going to watch it from afar. But again, that's it. We'll be back next week at some point with some DC stuff as we work our schedule out. You know, we're entering spooky season, and that's a big month for both of us. Follow us on social media, The Active Geek Podcast. Chuck is on social media, Chuck_TheActiveGeek. Follow the network, Galaxy Wars. We finally released an episode. We talked about our experience at AEW, and that's going to be fun. And then next week, we're going to be talking about Halloween Kills, which is going to be amazing in my mind. I haven't seen the movie, but I feel like it's going to be great. And listen to Cage of My IQ or watch it because it's on YouTube. Watch it every day on YouTube. I'm going to be on it this Thursday. And yeah, that's it, man. We're going to be back next week. Long Halloween, available on HBO Max. So go and watch that before we spoil it. And DC Fandom this Saturday. I don't know. DCFandom.com. I don't know. This isn't sponsored by DC. Find it if you can. For the Active Geek Podcast, I am Jim.
I am Chuck.
And we are out.